Okay, we've got open lines for you now for the rest of the night. Those special open lines. Hey, what a great story to tell you. At least it was great for me. Over the last 2 years, I have kept a $100 bill on my money clip. And around it, I've had a couple, some 20s and 5s and 1s. You know, whenever I would have any money in cash at all, I'd always keep that $100 bill up there. And eventually, and I never spent the thing. And it just got old, and it got old, and it got old, but I didn't really realize how old it got until one day I reached into my pocket and pulled out my money clip, and the only thing left was half of it. The other half was gone. I have no idea where it went. It somehow ripped off, and I dropped it, and it's gone. And I went, doggone it. So I just kept it. I was going to throw it away, and I kept it on my counter, and I just left it that way for months, months, months. Well, yesterday I was online and I went, I wonder if I can get any, if I can get, you know, go to a bank with this thing and get a fresh $100 bill for this. And I said, probably not. So I went online and sure enough, if you have a certain percentage of the bill still intact, you can go in and get your money back for it. Basically exchange it. And so I called my bank, and the lady on the phone said, can you read the serial number? And I said, yes, that's fully intact. And she said, yes, sure. Just bring it into any of our, into our offices and just take it to them and they'll give you a fresh $100 bill. So I went in today and I brought it with me and she said, I'm sorry, but we, our rules are you have to have 75% of this bill. And you look like you're about 50%. So we can't honor this. And I went, oh, you're kidding. But she did some more checking. And then someone said, well, it's got to be at least 51 or 52%. I guess what they don't want is the other half floating around. But she finally said, you know what? You've been a customer of the bank for a long time. I'll honor this. And so she took it and gave me a fresh $100 bill. On something that I was ready to throw away. I was going to do it today after I checked this all out. So that's an amazing story for me. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to the Open Line portion of the program. So let's go right to the calls. Let's pick it up by going to Calder in Toronto, Canada. Hey, Calder, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
I just had a quick question for you. I was wondering, do you remember the movie Batman: The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger as the Joker?
Yes. Yes.
And at the end of the movie, Bruce Wayne Industries had a telephone surveillance system that was based on radar or sonar that pretty much surveilled the entire Gotham City. Do you think something like that could possibly exist based on the camera and the microphone of your of everybody's cell phone, where they can just monitor everything that happens in picture and in sound?
Not yet, Calder, but I think they're getting there. I think if they were using something like that now, we would have found out about it. But, you know, it's probably 5 years away. Technology, at the speed it's changing, that's very possible, especially with this view of just monitoring and seeing and, you know, invasion of privacy. It's coming, absolutely. You know, these movies are a few years ahead of time, but they're happening. And a scary thought, too. Let's go to Mark in Greenwood, Indiana, east of the Rockies. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Got a question for you. About 5 years ago, I had an extremely odd dream, and still to this day, it does not make sense. I was dreaming, and all of a sudden, I was like, I was sitting at the base of a tree, and I do not know I was facing east or west. It was kind of orange. It was kind of low clouds, kind of orange. And all of a sudden, something said, just be comfortable. Everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the American bald eagle was up by my left shoulder. And the falcon was by my left wrist. American the gold eagle was by my right shoulder. And a barn owl was by my right arm. I said, you're going to be okay. Let's go. And all of a sudden, I straightened out my arms. We took off, and I could feel them going out of my body, but my body was still here. We flew off out into the space, out in the travel, and all of a sudden, I fell asleep. I thought, Lisa, you're OK. okay, and I'm scared to death of heights.
And you were way up there, right?
Yes, and all of a sudden, I could not open my eyes. I tried to open them. I couldn't. And next thing you know, I started waking up, but I couldn't open my eyes, and all of a sudden, we're coming back to Earth. I thought, where was I? And they said, you will know when your time, when it comes time. What? Who are you? They said, you will know when the time is right. All of a sudden, we come back into Earth, and I see myself still sitting there the way I was sitting, and the birds were not flying, and that they were with me. I was comfortable. Got back into my body. I woke up. I wonder what that is. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Well, the message isn't there yet, but man, it could come any time.
Because, and I just found out 2 years ago, I have Cherokee, a little bit of Cherokee Indian in me. I thought, I wonder if that has something to do with it.
What was it like, by the way, to have that feeling of flying? Was it exhilarating, even though you're afraid of heights?
I felt so comfortable and at peace and at ease. Like they said, you're okay. They're not going to harm you. And all of a sudden, I could just feel myself just flying out. I was like, hey, this is fun. I enjoy this. And you can see everything around you. And all of a sudden, we went out into space. I thought, what are we doing all the way out here? I don't even know where we went.
I got to tell you, Mark, flying in your dreams, one of the most exhilarating feelings. I mean, it really is something else. Let's move over to Long Beach, California. Diane's there, close to the Queen Mary. You ever been on the Queen Mary, Diane?
I have, and it is haunted.
Well, I think in September, I'm going to be doing a live program there on a Friday. So I'll let you know. Come on by.
We will. That would be great. Thanks, George.
Sure thing.
Well, I called to tell you it is a story about my mom being on hospice. I have wanted to share this with you so much. My mom was passing away on hospice in her bedroom. I was with her for days and days, and then I had to drive back home. It was a couple-hour drive. Drove back home because I needed to come home for a couple of days, and I just thought that they would call me and tell me that she was gone after I got home. And then the Friday when I could drive back, she had hung on. I drove in traffic up to the high desert from Los Angeles County up to the high desert. Took me 3 hours to get there. Got there at 10:30 at night, walked in the house, and my dad said to me, I'm tired. I'm going to go to the guest room. I went into the bedroom, and my mom was there with the nurse, and the nurse said to me, I cannot believe she has hung on. And I said, oh, my gosh. I just had prayed all the way up there, Mom, hang on, hang on. So when I got into the bedroom, I was talking to her, telling her what I needed to say. And I looked at the nurse. I said, what is the date? I said, because I have no clue. I was so out of it. She said, it's November 7th. And I said, wow. I said, I really, really love the number 8. And I said, and the nurse looked at me and she said, well, she was holding her wrist, and she said, I think we're losing her. She said, and she looked at the clock, and she said, I don't think that she'll make it till the 8th, sweetheart. And that would have been at midnight. And I said, that's okay, Mom. Whatever you need to do. Well, I'm going to make a long story short, George. Okay. The nurse had her cell phone out, and she looked at me, and she said, she just passed. My mom passed away on November 8th in the 2008. At 12:08.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
She hit all your numbers for you.
She sure did. So really wanted to share that with you. And I just got goosebumps.
See, that's a story, if you were on the Queen Mary, you would have had to have shared with us.
That's right. I will definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, it's coming. I'm pretty sure we're going to be doing it. And just, you know, on our website, coasttocoastam.com, up there in the left-hand side in the corner, there's a calendar schedule for me. Just pop in every once in a while, and if it's going to happen, I'll talk about it, but it'll be on that too.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Absolutely. I think there's like 3 or 4 speaking engagements for me for the rest of this year, so I'll be popping all over the place. Let's go to Fred in Florissant, Missouri. I know that area well. Fred, how are you?
Hello, George.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say that I'm doing good, and I appreciate your show, and I wanted to bring to your attention the USOs, underwater submerged objects, possibly making a divine intervention with these oil plumes that I believe that are down in the ocean, way deep, you know, and they might bring some kind of a, you know, something to our knowledge, you know. I don't know. I'm curious what the USOs, because I do believe there are USOs and UFOs, and, you know, it's there, they're there. But, I mean, you know, George, I mean, don't you think that there might, I mean, that they might have some kind of divine intervention in our...
You know, Fred, I don't know why they don't intervene. I mean, I like you, believe that they exist. We've had incredible reports from sailors, from people on ships, that they have seen these objects burst out of the sea, just whoosh, and take off. We've had amazing cases on this program. Stanton Friedman has talked about them. And so I believe they're there. I don't understand why they don't intervene with people, why they don't step in to help us out. At least maybe we don't know if they've helped us out. Maybe they have. But there doesn't seem to be anything direct. Let's go next to Dan in Laguna Beach, California. Hey, Dan, welcome to the program.
Hello, George.
By the way, I'm told that I have to get out to Laguna Beach. It's one area out there that I've not been to yet, but I'm told it's just gorgeous. Is that true?
It is, George, and today I had a rough day at work, and I got out on time, and about 6 o'clock, I paddled out and did a little surfing. The waves weren't good, but I caught a real nice wave, and I rode it in till the water was about 6 inches deep.
What a way to calm down, huh?
Oh, and what a great way to start your weekend on a Friday night.
Absolutely.
Okay, bear with me because I'm a little nervous, but I got a question for you.
Absolutely.
And I Googled this, and nobody ever brought this up. But since I was young, when I get really mental or focused, I'm in the computer business, so I work on software, and I get very mentally focused. I have had the ability to make streetlights go out. Like, I'll be driving, a streetlight will go out. I'll be talking to friends, and a streetlight will go out. And I mean, it's weird. It's happened for years.
I'm laughing because it happens to me, too. So
okay, I Googled it, and I don't see any discussion of this.
You probably won't find a lot, Dan, on the Internet. It's a weird thing. Now, does it also happen when you're walking past them as opposed to being in your car?
Oh, yeah. I mean, matter of fact, I was dating this gal, and she was telling me, you know, oh, you know, you're a really great guy. You're understanding and all this. And I go, yeah, you know, it's really weird. I've got the ability to make streetlights go out. We were, like, in front of her house, and there was a, you know, one of those lights, and it blinked out.
Gosh. Well, see, if you really wanted to impress her, you should have had the light just explode or something.
Well, I'm just curious if anybody else has observed this phenomenon or if anybody else has done it. I mean, it's not in a car. It just will happen. I'll be, like, walking down the street, and the light will just blink out.
It is strange. I don't know. Let's talk about scientifically, first of all, if the sensors on these lights have anything to do with us. Maybe we break light or something.
No, you know what I've thought is those sensors, they're electronics, and they're a sensor, and they detect things. And I'm just wondering, and, you know, not to turn the government on to the ability to detect us or people, if they have a range that has the ability to sense people or, like, mental energy. So that, you know, let's say you're focused or you're in love or you're under duress or, you know, there's a death in the family or a crisis and you're putting out a lot of energy and the silly detector in the light, which is supposed to detect day and night, detects your presence and it activates.
Maybe.
You know? So, I mean, it's just curious because I've had this happen to me. Oh, hundreds of times.
Yet you could be with someone And it's not happening to them, is it? Or
no, no, it is just in my presence.
Just you. Yeah.
And the gal that I was dating, she was startled.
Whatever happened to the relationship?
Oh, well, she was like going through a divorce, et cetera, et cetera. I was just a friend, but I mean.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it was just like, it was, you know, too overwhelming for me to get involved with, but.
I was curious.
I Googled it, and I don't see any discussion of it.
No, it happens. I've gotten a lot of phone calls from some people. They've had that ability. I mean, it's happened to me. I was leaving work a couple weeks ago in L.A., and the same night I was in my car, and I thought maybe the lights hit it or something, but it is weird the way they pop in, pop out when you're right there.
Okay, well, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
You're not alone.
Okay, and George, you know what's so wonderful about your show?
What's that?
Is there's no meanness to it at all. I mean, you listen, you're not judgmental, and I mean, I don't agree, and you get a lot of wild topics from the full spectrum, which is enjoyable and it's entertaining. But you know, there's just like no mean spirit into it at all.
Well, you know, thank you for that.
It's so refreshing, and it's, you know what I mean? I mean, I could be working late, writing software or whatever. It's like, yeah, let's put on George. You know, it's a good time.
You know, I don't agree with everything, but you know what? It's not that kind of a show to put on a guest or a caller and confront them and belittle them as you get on a lot of talk shows.
No.
I mean, you don't need that on this program. I mean,
and your audience is so open-minded that I learn things every time I listen.
Absolutely. That's the key, Dan. I want you to learn something from somebody. Make up your own mind. Don't listen to me.
And be open-minded.
You got it.
Okay, thank you, George. Have a good evening.
You take care. Yeah, Laguna Beach, I'm told, is absolutely stunning. One area I haven't been to yet. I've been all over the state, but that is one spot I haven't been. I also want to go to Del Mar in San Diego. It's a great racetrack. I used to have some race horses a long time ago. They were harness horses. They're thoroughbreds at Del Mar. But I'm told that that racetrack is also phenomenal. If you've ever been down there, send me a fast blast. Tell me if you like it. The meet, though, the live horse race meet is not that long. And I would have thought that with the weather that way, they would run these things year-round, but they're not. Let's go next to Sandra in Houston, Texas. You're up with us. Hey, Sandra, how are you? I tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold. Because we're coming up to the break, and I don't want to shorten your story at all by any means. So you just stay there. Those of you who want to email me, I do get them. It's george@coast2coastam.com. By the way, we made it easier for you to get to our website, too. It's just georgenory.com, and that'll take you straight to the website as well. But for email purposes, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. I'll be back in a moment with callers from you, Sandra, in Houston, Billings, Montana, Toronto, Madison, Wisconsin, California, and Maryland, and much more on Coast to Coast AM. Absolutely, and it's time for our traditional shout-out and thanks to you for supporting Coast to Coast AM, making us as big as it is. As a matter of fact, the highest affiliate count that we've ever had in the history of the program, and rapidly becoming almost the number one affiliated show in the country. Almost. We're number two. We're getting close. I'm not going to tell you who's number one. Now, those of you listening on your favorite stations, including our friends WOR in New York, KFI in Los Angeles, WLS in Chicago, and all the other stations, so much. Thank you for what you do. Streamlink members, soon to be Coast Insiders, thank you. And some great things coming, some video applications coming down for you, and some other things that you really enjoy. If you want to join Streamlink, it's like pennies a day. XM Satellite Channel 165. Then the various chat rooms. And, of course, I've mentioned tonight and so often the folks at the Nighthawk Zone. Tonight is their fifth anniversary, and a very special hello to them. Just a group of just great guys and gals who've gotten together to chat about the program while we're on the air, but in a beneficial way. There's no hate there at this website, at this chat forum, unlike some of the others that pop up and fall apart eventually. These are just people who are just dedicated, good human beings that you take to dinner if you ever met them. And so happy fifth anniversary to all of you folks, headed up by Bad Boy, who created this, put it together, and people started joining. Very proud of all of them. Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, the Facebook groups, the Twitter groups, the MySpace groups, the Yahoo chat groups, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, AboveTopSecret.com, SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the great Hollywood Ghost Hunters, super folks there, and then, of course, our buddy in St. Louis, Greg the Cook, who's listening right now, jumping up and down at the mention of his name. Back in a moment with more in your Fast Blasts and your Texas, and Skype is open, too, and that's George97313. Sunday night, don't forget, we're going to have a live program for you. I'll be there, emerging artists as well. It'll be August 1st. I can't believe how fast this year is going. You know, they used to say the older you get, the quicker the years go. I thought that was a bunch of bunk. They're right. These days just click by. I got to tell you, we'll be into September no time. Then we'll be talking about Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. The year will be up. We'll be starting in 2011. Just amazing. Slow down, year. Slow down. Houston, Texas, we go. Sandra, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi,
George. I realize that your guest has left, but I want to share something with you and your listeners.
Sure.
Can you hear me?
I can, loud and clear.
Good, thank you. My mother died in October of 2008, October the 12th, and after we buried her, the whole family went out to dinner, and I saw my sister outside of the restaurant walking back and forth. And later I asked her, what were you doing out there? She said, I was talking to Mom and asking her if she's all right, let me know. Just let me know if you're all right, Mom. And that was a Thursday night. And my sister had a job where she would clean model homes. Before people moved in, she would clean them and vacuum. And she called me that Sunday, 1 week after my mother died. She had gone that morning to clean the model home. And as she was plugging in the vacuum cleaner before she could, she said, I felt such joy and happiness that I had to hold on to the wall. But she didn't connect it. And as she was speaking, I knew exactly what was happening. And she said, I had to hold on to the wall because I felt such happiness and joy. She said, you can't even imagine. She said, pretend you had just won lottery and you won millions of dollars. Wouldn't you be happy? I said, yes. She said, that's how I felt. I felt so happy and excited and thrilled. And I said, Beverly, that was Mom telling you that she's all right. Didn't you ask her to tell you? She said, yes. I said, well, that was her telling you that, because she had never had this happen to her before or since. And she said, you can't even imagine what happiness I felt that I had to hold on to the wall to steady myself. And I said, well, that was the first time you were alone. After 1 week, she had company in her house for the funeral, and she was never alone until that moment. And then something else happened a few months ago to me. I had a dream where I didn't see my mother, but I heard her voice. And I said to her, I don't know how she was there, but somehow I knew she was there. And I said, Mom, what are you doing? And she said, I'm dancing. I wish we could. And it stopped at that point. I'm dancing. I wish we could. And all the years that I've ever known my mom, which was 66 years, she never, when I called her, would ever say, I'm dancing. It was always be, I'm coming from the store, I'm eating.
Right.
She never said, I'm dancing. This was the first time.
Did she ever go dancing?
No.
You know?
No. Okay. And a few weeks later, by accident, I was in Barnes & Noble bookstore. I bought this book called Hello from Heaven by Bill and Judy Guggenheim. And I was reading it. I went to the epilogue page, and there it was. It said, it was written by this prophet. And before you start the chapter of the epilogue, the two lines said, when the earth shall claim your limbs, then shall you truly dance. And I couldn't believe what I was reading.
There you go.
Isn't that weird?
There you go.
That's weird. Something else I want to tell you. It's short, but I didn't know this, and I don't understand it to this minute, and I wish one of your listeners someday would answer this question. My mother died on October the 12th at exactly 12 o'clock p.m., exactly. She was born August 13th. those numbers add up to 12. All her childhood life, even until I was born, when she and my dad lived, her address was 912. My brother, her only son, died when he was a baby, a year and a half old, on July the 12th.
Well, what we will do, Sandra, the next time I have Glynis McCants on, the numbers lady,
yes,
I'll ask her that. I'll say, what's the significance, maybe not just the 12, but of all these specific dates with deaths and people being born, and what that means.
Yeah, because, see, George, I didn't realize that a number could follow you all your life.
Oh, absolutely.
And it can't help my mother now. She's not with us, but I'm no matter what, I read Linda Goodman. She had written a book about numbers. It didn't answer that. I was just been curious for 2.5 years now why this number 12 seemed to follow her all through her. Even I didn't put it together till when I realized she died on the 12th at exactly 12 o'clock. And then all of a sudden, all these other 12s came. And that would be wonderful if you could do something like that.
We will do that. Definitely, there's a message there. And, of course, you know, we get text messages now. And Tom has got one for me. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hey, George, I've got a text from Jason in Washington, D.C. Jason was driving and a car swerved into his lane and just missed him. So Jason wants to know your thoughts on whether you think it was luck or actually a higher power that was looking out for him.
Well, now, as you know, I believe in luck. I don't believe in coincidence. At the same time, I always believe that when episodes like this occur, that there is a higher power out there. Something steps in to save us. Even you, Tom, in your entire life, just think back when you were even starting to drive as a youngster. Did you ever have a situation that you got out of and you said to yourself, there's no way I would have gotten out of this thing?
Are you kidding?
Happened to you?
It happened last week. But
you didn't tell me that.
I always wonder, though, what's the difference between luck and coincidence? Like, if a car just misses, say, me, am I lucky, or was it a coincidence that I passed by a little bit faster than the car could hit me at?
No, see, I think that's fate. And I also think luck gives you the, you know, and we've had guests on who have written books about luck, as you know.
We sure have.
I think you can control your luck by whatever that mechanism is within our systems. That's a great text. I enjoyed it.
Okay, well, there you go, Jason. Thanks,
right,
George.
And we'll have another text or two next hour as well. And let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Billings, Montana now. Ken's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Ken, go ahead.
Hey, George.
Hi.
I have a little bit of a story. Well, a friend of mine and I were talking the first part of May. Hello, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to interrupt you. I could interrupt.
Right. Okay. His friend Bill had called him. He was talking to him about his dad the week before. Had called him really, and really upset because something had been killing his sheep up in a prior mountains there, and so he's out to get it. He's going to go get whatever's killing his sheep. So he got up one night and he got out just before it went dark, and he was watching this area, and he said it looked like a bear going down and it was killing one of his sheep, so he shot it. And he said when he went down to look at the bear and get a good look at it and turned it over, he said it had the face of a human.
Oh, he shot a Bigfoot.
That's what I was thinking.
Where is it?
It's south of Billings.
No, I mean, where's the creature?
We don't know. What happened is he called his son, told him the story. The son said, well, call Fish and Game. And let them know what happened. And supposedly he did. And son never heard back from his father and didn't hear back from his father. And finally, about 6 hours later, he was going to just run down there to see what was going on. We went down by the area. The Army National Guard or the Army had it blocked off. He couldn't get into it.
Unbelievable.
So he went back home and he called his dad and he said, what happened with this thing? He says, well, I didn't shoot anything. He says, come on. He says, you're just telling me you're upset, really upset. I told you to call Fish and Game. What in the heck did you shoot? He said, I didn't shoot anything. Nothing got shot.
Whoa.
And I had another friend, that's totally unrelated from this story. And me and this other guy were talking. and he heard us talking about the Army National Guard closing off the Pryor Mountains. And he says, oh, yeah, you're right, Dad. I'm closed off that last week. He says, I tried going up there dirt bike riding, and I couldn't get in there. He says, so I had to come back around, turn around, come back home. So, it was, you know, he had no idea of the other story, but, you know, both guys ran into the same thing with the mountains being closed off.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah. And the guy denies it afterward. I mean, the guy that shot it.
Well, they, somebody got to him. Somebody scared the heck out of that guy.
Yeah. But he said when he rolled it over, it looked just like a human's face. He says it really, really freaked him out.
Scared them. Scared him like crazy. All right. Thanks, Ken.
Yep.
Great story.
All right. Let's, thanks, George.
You got a Jerry in Ben Lomond, California. You're with us. Hi, Jerry.
Oh, hi. Well, I've been dying to tell you this story ever since my husband passed away because it's quite something.
All right.
We met in 1960. And
I haven't met you yet.
Pardon?
I haven't met you yet.
No, not you and I. My husband I and I.
I'm pulling your leg.
And we met in 1960, and he was always going to the horse racing. That's what's funny because we went to Del Mar, and I heard you mention that.
Is it a great racetrack?
Yes, it is.
I got
to. And we were down so close to the rail, we could hear the guys all yelling at each other as they went by.
Oh yeah,
and I thought that was neat. And so then, he found a horse that was called Gone Fishing, and he decided that was going to be our thing to say if one of us was ever on the other side. So we married in 1963. We had two daughters and three grandkids. And then he had heart trouble, but he was always joking around. He was such a character. He always thought he was kind of like a Henny Youngman with the one-liners and always telling jokes. And so then he had heart trouble and he passed away on April of 03, April 11th. And he knew that I was always watching Days of Our Lives, but we also watched John Edwards' show. And I would watch the second hour of it because it would be on 2 hours in that year. And so my daughter lived about a half hour away, and she called me up one day when he had passed away 12 days before, and she said, Dad's on the John Edwards show. She says, turn it over there. She said before he went to the commercial that he went to a woman in the audience and said, call your mom. I have a message from your dad to call your mom and tell her that he's gone fishing.
Oh, cool.
Oh, so then he went, and then he said to her when he came back from commercial, it went on. And he said, no, I have Robert here. And that was my husband's name. I just fell off the couch.
Isn't that cool?
Then he said, no, I have two dads here. And her dad's name was George. And then, but my husband's father's name was also Robert. He was a junior. So then when he said he had two dads there, I didn't know whether it was my husband's dad and him
or the other guy.
Or her dad. Too. So then he said he always carries a badge with him. Well, her dad was a cop, but my husband had a silly little badge from Disneyland with Mickey Mouse's face on there that said Bob at the top, and he would wear it all the time. The doctor's appointments, wherever he went, he would put that on his sweatshirt, and he was such a character. And so nine things came across that program, because he even said, your brother never calls you or something. No, he said, is your brother's fingers broke? And my brother had just cut off the top of it, one of the fingers with a saw.
Oh.
And he said,
did they reattach it?
No, just the tip of it was gone. And so then he said, because he never calls. And my brother never calls. He lives in Southern California. I never hear from him. So he just went on and on with the badge and talking about grandkids. And, oh, my God, he just nine things.
Man, that convinces you, if nothing else does, huh?
And it was a funny thing, too, because one time he was heading to the racetrack, and he said a car pulled out in front of him, a brand new truck, and he said, I don't know what took over that steering wheel, but I didn't. He knew right away that he was going to hit this truck. And he said, something took over the steering wheel and steered me to the next lane.
Yeah. I mean, that is just
amazing. Like when you were talking to the person who was waiting on the line.
That is truly. Well, what's the biggest race you two ever won at Del Mar, Jerry?
Oh, golly. He would always go to Hollywood Park Racetrack. And
yeah. I've not been there.
Yeah, he would go all the time. So I don't know what his final thing was, but one time he won $700 in a trifecta. Or double,
oh, yeah. Double. Do you know what a trifecta is?
I'm not quite sure now because it's been a long time.
You have to pick three horses. You pick three horses, first, second, and third.
Yeah. But when he won that 700, my mom was still there. We had met her at the track. And then I had the flu, came down with the flu, just like it hit me like a ton of bricks. And so I said, let's go. So he bet the horses, and then we left. And he heard it on the radio on the way home and turned around and went back. And then he gave a bunch of it to my mom, and then he lost a bunch of it back.
When he went back. All right.
Me and the car suffering.
Unbelievable. Thanks, Jerry. Those are great stories. Great stories indeed. We still got another hour of open lines to go for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. And those of you who have been on hold for a while, don't hang up. You'll lose your place in line. And you got to start all over. I'll be back in just a moment.